Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Newsmakers podcast. This is Kyle Gargaro, editorial director of the ACHR News. Today, we're talking indoor air quality, or like the kids call it, IEQ. To do that, we're welcoming in Jeff Howard, who is the HVAC comfort engineer with Williams Comfort Air. The company is a residential HVAC contractor in Indiana. Welcome to the podcast, Jeff.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Absolutely. First off, I guess just let us know, what does an HVAC comfort engineer do?
Well, what I do is go into more difficult situations, more difficult homes that are hard to figure out, look at proper design, ductwork, equipment, load matching, things like that, filtration, humidity control, both summer, winter, proper ventilation, building pressures, blower door tests, duct blast tests, things like that, duct leakage tests. So I look at the whole scope.
Okay, sounds good. Explain how that works within the business setting there. So is it on any call, or if people are looking for a replacement, or they, are you in the bullpen and they call the lefty when things get hard? How does that process work?
Yeah, it's all over. We're trying to hone in a little bit better to how we can incorporate it within our industry, our business models. And unfortunately, I'd say half the time it is coming in, like you said, getting called in from the bullpen. Let's go to cleanup. We don't want that to be the case, but sometimes that's how it ends up. We have our comfort consultants that go out and sell jobs like for like replacements, and we kind of educate the client that way. And then once they realize it's not working to their satisfaction of what they intended it to be, not to fault to anybody, other than the like for like replacement, that's when I get called in to figure out, hey, what's the game plan moving forward?
Okay. And then what's your background in the industry? How did you get to this point?
I've been in the field for 16 years. I started working new construction installs, pulling metal and everything from a warehouse while I was going to college for mechanical engineering. I just absolutely love the industry. I love that I got to meet new people every day and solve real world problems. So 16 years in the industry, and you learn every day.
Absolutely. Well, for this conversation, I kind of wanted to focus on indoor air quality, like we said in the opening there. Obviously, it's taken on added importance in the COVID era, but I kind of want to go back a little bit. How much success was Williams Comfort Air having in the IEQ segment before COVID hit and everyone was worried about every germ in the air?
Yeah, we did the typical indoor air quality things that most people think of, humidifiers, dehumidifiers. We did quite a bit of those. I'd say that was a large part of what we did with replacements or service add-ons and things like that, maintenance add-ons. So it's always been a big part, but obviously with COVID, people staying home more, we've seen an increase in consumer awareness that has driven it up even more from there.
Okay. Now, did you change your messaging, marketing when COVID hit and to kind of capitalize on the IEQ, or realize that could be a fine line? You don't want to be taken advantage, but you also have a product that could be helpful for people.
Yeah, we didn't change our marketing strategies at all. It's always been the same thing that, you test or you guess. And we like to go into it with the mentality that we want to test it before we give solutions. Because one of the big things that we like to say is prescription without diagnosis is malpractice. So mm-hmm. we try to live true to that and do everything we can to diagnose first before we prescribe what we're going to do going forward.
And how big is a segment of the homeowners that are open to hearing about this? I'm assuming some just think, well, no, you're just trying to add on and get some extra money. And then some kind of realize that does there have to be maybe a problem in the home with allergies or pets, or are people generally open to it?
People are generally open to it. I mean, there's so many different indoor air quality devices that they can get on the market now. That's affordable, and we see them in homes left and right, and they're curious. So once you see those things or you just ask them about it, they tend to open up and tell you what their needs are and what they want and why they've started looking into it. So it's usually a rather easy conversation to have. We just go in again with open-ended questions, lifestyle questions. We don't go in just saying, oh, you need this.
Right. And I guess since you bring it up, it's becoming, mainstream. How do you push back on that a little bit? I assume you get a few folks say, well, I can just go to Home Depot and buy that for $125 without, really knowing the scope. So what's the sales technique there?
The sales technique to that is what I would say is, or what we kind of say is, well, what would happen if you put that in and it doesn't work? You start to get them to think that, hey, are you really qualified or able to do this? Or there's some concern that you have, or are you hesitant? And not only that, you're not getting the warranty, you're not getting it backed by a professional installing it. So some of those are difficult to overcome, and some people just have to learn the hard way.
Right. Do you happen to have off the top of your head the percentage of individuals that do add on IAQ to their, let's say if they're replacing a system? We're talking like, you can just ballpark it, 50%, 75, 25?
Usually with the installs and stuff like that, we've replaced humidifiers, especially if they have an existing one. So I would say 70% or greater have some sort of add-on
Okay.
during our installation. Either it's given with the sale to close the sale, or it's something that they purchase in addition.
So a lot of times you'll kind of bundle it together for a little bit lesser cost since the ticket will be so big.
Yeah, yep, that's exactly it.
Okay. And then what are the kind of most popular IAQ technologies with homeowners these days? What are the ones that are flying off the shelf, so to say?
The ones flying off the shelves that I personally do not recommend is, and we hear it, is the iWave or things similar, bipolar ionization devices, these LED lights, these UV lights that unfortunately our industry does not know the byproduct of what happens with them, and we're just blindly putting them in. And I've tested befores and afters, done different field studies and things like that, and they don't do as they're promised. Plus, we're putting different byproducts in the air. And what does that really do to a homeowner? What does that really do to a client? And if there's someone that's more susceptible to, breathing issues or concerns, or they have little ones, you just got to be careful. You can't do that to that home without knowing what you're doing, or that person, that client, that homeowner.
So what products are you most likely to recommend?
Typically, we talk about fresh air, a good fresh air. So some sort of positive fresh air, so proper ventilation, proper humidity control, such as dehumidification, humidification if needed, filtration, and a lot of it goes back to what does the house need? So we can get into the building, the building science kind of portion too. But a lot of times it's the ventilation, filtration, humidity control.
Yeah, so I'm assuming you're looking at the whole house as a system. It's not just a product out of the box, but you're looking at ductwork and kind of everything that goes into that. Can you speak a little bit about that, how you look at a home and decide what it needs?
Yeah, each home's different and each home is a system. You have to look at it as a system. And then at that point, you diagnose the system accordingly. And you got to figure out what your homeowner's goals and needs are as well. So you have your house needs, your goals that the homeowners have. And then, of course, you wrap it right back around to a budget to figure out what's that sweet spot for being beneficial for that homeowner or that client.
So it's just a matter of sitting down with them and asking a lot of questions. Say, are there kids? Are there pets? Anyone have asthma? Those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to have those conversations. You want to figure out their lifestyle and what their concerns are. And then, of course, you can test the house as a system, and at that point, make those recommendations.
I want to talk a little bit about ductwork too, because that's one that kind of maybe flies under the radar a little bit. What do you do there? Like, on most products, will you see a significant amount of duct leakage? Maybe it depends on the age of the house.
Yeah, even newer homes have a certain guideline that they're supposed to be within, but we see that a majority of the duct systems do leak anywhere between that 20 to 40% ballpark. I would say out of our locations, we're in Indianapolis, we're in Louisville, and we're also in Cincinnati. And out of those three markets, we have averaged right around, when we do duct leakage tests, about 35% of total leakage per home on
Oh
a duct
wow.
system.
And then what's the leakage percentage, and maybe this is a moving target, that makes sense to fix it? If it's 5%, maybe it's not a problem. Obviously 35% is a problem, but you kind of have benchmarks for that.
Yeah, we do. We look at What we typically look at is we look at what's the local code. Obviously, we don't expect a home in 1970 to have the same type of design or wasn't configured the same way or it wasn't as big of a problem then versus today. So we kind of benchmark based off what today's standards are. And then if it's something that we can do to get somebody to that level, we educate them on it and get them back down to that mark. So yeah, we'd like to get them down to about 2.5% of total duct leakage.
Okay.
But if you're at 5%, it may not be as beneficial to someone that is leaking at 35%.
Right. Yeah, I guess in the customer's eyes, you're just looking for payback. How many, you know, if I'm helping my utility bills by 30%, I'm going to get that payback return on investment, you know, a lot sooner than it was 5 or 6%, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. They buy on emotion and then you close on the intellectual portion of it of, you know, is it going to have that ROI back on it?
Can you talk to me a little about I'm assuming it's the duct sealing we're talking about, duct sealing process, and I'm assuming you got to get employees trained on that, up and running. How do you, if contractors listening to this say, I want to make that a part of my business to make some extra money, any advice?
Yeah, I mean, there's the old way and there's the new way. The old way is go in with your duct mastic. And I wouldn't necessarily say old way because, again, some homes it's best to do it that way. But going in with your duct mastic and sealing everything by hand, or, you know, and the other regard is the AeroSeal process that we utilize. And that's a lot less labor intensive on the guys that actually have to do it. It's a lot less time. So it saves the homeowner a lot. It's done, and then it adds on. It's a win-win-win for everybody, where it adds on to obviously what the company can take in and offer.
Now, do you have certain employees that's all they do, duct sealing, or is that one of a few things they do, or can everyone do this at your office? Well, not the receptionist, but everyone in the field.
Yep. With the duct sealing process, it's a crew that's trained, dedicated on how to run the machine, how to set up properly, block everything off properly. So we do it to the best of our ability. So we have a dedicated crew that does that. Anybody can offer it. They have to go through the right steps to offer it, making sure that, you know, our static pressure is under control. We do the register counts, the vent counts. We see how big the house is. We kind of figure out how long it's going to take. And we couple that into our duct cleaning service too. So what we do is we clean the ducts before we seal them. And then we do our AeroSeal process.
Okay. How often would you recommend homeowners get their ducts cleaned?
We revert back to what the EPA suggests of every 3 years, but it's a case-by-case basis. Depends on the lifestyle of the homeowner, you know, pets, no pets, elderly, young, kids, no kids, where the ductwork is located in the home, things like that. So it's a case-by-case basis, but if you go off the EPA recommendations, it's every 3 years.
Okay. I'm assuming this is something, like I assume you have a maintenance agreement program or something that's called that. So that's why you want these. So you're in their home and you can recommend these kind of things, because odds are they're not going to call you every 3 years to get the ducts cleaned up. But you're doing the spring tune-up around this time and you mention it, maybe they'll bite.
Yeah, exactly. If we see that it's something that's a need or a potential need, we discuss it, we take pictures, we share it with the homeowner and let them make their decision. But yeah, it's definitely an offer that we can give to a homeowner.
Okay. Now with IAQ, obviously HVAC is a huge part of it, but it's not the only part. You know, you have windows and insulation and a bunch of weatherization stuff. How do you guys handle that? Will you identify things, subcontract out? How much of that you do? Kind of walk me through that if you don't mind.
Yeah, depending on, because we do blower door tests and stuff like that on a home when we're testing and not guessing. And if there's certain things that need to be done. So if we're talking about air sealing or insulating, we have partners that we have worked closely with and built that bond that I can trust that they're going to do something as we discuss and to our goals that we set for them.
Okay. And the last question here before I let you go here, obviously this can be a lot of things. Like you said, you know, it may be a little bit of a menu, especially with an older home. You might have 10 things that you should do. Does financing come into play? And then is there also kind of, I'll do this year, I'll do this next year. Talk about someone's probably not going to spend $40,000 cleaning up the IQ in their house, but over 1 year, but maybe over five, they will. To talk about how you sell, how that process works, and how you can make it work for you and your customer.
Yeah, we offer different financing promotions and things like that we can give to our homeowners. And there is a step by step. So we look at it as a yes, here's the full menu. Here's where we're gonna go, but here's your stepping stones to get to where you want to go. So if it's something that somebody does want to do a little bit at a time, we're perfectly fine with that. As long as we educate, kind of build that for them, give them that path. And then we can go that way. Otherwise, we do have financing options. I'm sure a lot of people have that out there. So we offer up to, 12 months, the 0% interest, minimum monthly payment, or even longer terms, depending on what they decide to do.
Okay. And I lied. I do have one more question that popped in my head when you were answering that. How did you guys get up to speed on this? How did you learn this? Is it through an association, through manufacturers, distributors? But if there's a contractor out there going, geez, I'm leaving money on the table. I want to get involved with this. Any kind of a few step process that would help them out?
As in with the AeroSeal or indoor air quality as a whole?
Indoor air quality as a whole. Yeah.
Indoor air quality as a whole, National Comfort Institute, NCI, Comfort Institute, who is now part of AeroSeal and their training that they offer and give out. BPI, if anybody's done that, you got to be aware of what you're doing with BPI though. Also, NATE, we've done just different things all over, different manufacturers. We do a lot with carriers, so we have training through them, so on and so forth.
Okay, great. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you taking a few minutes and kind of spelling out IAQ for us.
My pleasure. Appreciate you having me on.
Sure thing.